High Five Casino lets you play your favorite slot and live table games, like blackjack, with the chance to redeem for real cash prizes. High Five Casino has a giant selection of over 1,200 games, including hundreds of exclusive games only found on High Five Casino. It's always free to play, and free coins are given out every 4 hours. Ready to have your own High Five moment? Visit highfivecasino.com. That's high, the number 5, casino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, you might have heard the news today that, is it 8 or 9 years? I think possibly 9 years after first boot it, the first drug injection centre, supervised drug injection facility is going to open at Merchants Quay, an 18-month pilot project. With me to discuss is Eddie Mullins, who's the CEO at Merchants Quay. Eddie, you're welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Kieran.
So, I mean, this has long been talked about and finally happening. What exactly is happening? For, you know, describe what this is going to look like from an operational point of view.
Okay, so it's a facility that looks very much like a vaccination centre. So there are 7 bays, cubicles, and people who inject drugs, who currently do so most likely on the streets, okay, will come into this facility. They will be met by a project worker at the reception area. We'll have a conversation with them around the drugs they're going to take. They'll present the drugs, so they'll show us that they have drugs coming in. And then they will be taken from there to the injection facility, which is, as I say, very like a vaccination centre. And then they will be supervised and supported by a trained nurse while they inject the drugs. And then when they have completed that act, they will move to our aftercare area, where they'll be monitored for a minimum of 15 minutes, after which then they are, you know, they can leave at any stage after that. But most likely, because a lot of the people who use our facilities will go and maybe access some of our other services, like our harm reduction services, our GP service, maybe have a meal, maybe have take a shower and a change of clothes. So we're very excited about this. As you say, it's 9 years since it was first approved at Cabinet, and it has gone through a rigorous planning and appeals process, and I suppose we've earned the right now to open.
And you use the phrase kind of harm reduction there to describe some of the services you provide. Is that how you would describe this? Is this a harm reduction service?
So this is a harm reduction service. There are a number of objectives here. One, at the moment, a lot of people who take drugs do so, who inject drugs do so in very, undignified and dangerous environments, often alone. There's an element of condemnation and shame associated with taking drugs, and there's a strong lack of dignity here. So we see this as a very dignified approach, supporting people who take drugs. But there's a very important objective here, and that is, when a person comes in who's currently not engaging with the services, we now have an opportunity to start a conversation to see how we might progress from where a person is today into a recovery journey. Because ultimately our aim is not to encourage people to take drugs. Our aim is to encourage people to avail of the supports and the support again that is available to them to help them on a recovery journey.
And how does kind of the overdose rate in Ireland compare to other countries in Europe where these centres maybe exist?
Yeah, so we fluctuate between second and third highest overdose rates in Europe. We have the last published data in relation to drug-related deaths is for 2021, and we had 354 people who died from drug-related deaths, and the majority of them were opioid overdoses. So we clearly have a significant problem in relation to the deaths from overdose. And we've done a lot of research with other jurisdictions where medically supervised injection facilities are available, or consumption rooms in some cases. And the information is clear that this is a very significant harm reduction measure.
Yeah.
It allows us to be there to support people who, if they go into an overdose situation, they can be attended to quite quickly. A potential tragedy can be averted.
Kieran Perry is with us as well, independent Dublin City Councillor. Kieran, have you concerns about the facility and how it might operate?
Absolutely. My concerns will be well known over the years. I've opposed the opening of it, working from the premise that taking heroin is bad for people. I see this as maintaining people in addiction as opposed to an actual treatment facility. That's a difficulty I have with it. It's part of the normalisation of drug use in society, which I think is an extreme negative. And I don't believe that's been addressed anywhere. And opening such a facility, and I disagree strongly with Eddie as to the proof that it works. Like, I haven't seen evidence that it works. I've seen the surveys.
To cut across, when you say it works, do you mean in terms of reducing overdoses or in terms of getting people onto a recovery pathway?
Both. Of particular interest is the recovery pathway. I think the stats that I've seen for moving on to detox or to rehab are pathetic. Like the original stats were in around 10%. If there's some sort of guarantee that they're going to improve, this may turn out to be some sort of positive. Without a doubt, it does encourage people to engage with the system, but I don't believe it does them a huge amount of good. I think they're simply being maintained. To me, it's a class issue. I don't think we'd even be discussing injection centres if the opioid crisis affected middle-class people. This is almost exclusively a working-class issue, and I believe to maintain working-class people in addiction is a lack of respect for their addiction and for themselves.
Well, what about just, and I'll come back to Eddie on some of those points, but the harm reduction argument or the reduction of overdoses, do you accept that there's evidence that it does reduce the overdose rate?
To some degree, absolutely. I disagree with the statistics that Eddie would give us. My understanding that you're talking about polydrug use, we're talking about methadone. The actual heroin overdose rate is relatively low. I think it's in around the 6% stat or something like that. And like, just to be clear, even one death is something that we shouldn't accept or tolerate. But I think that I don't know what that's going to cost now. The original estimate was for 3 million. I'm assuming it's well above that. If that 3 million was invested, maybe the 8 years ago that we're speaking about, in detoxification services or rehabilitation services, that would be much more valuable to the people who are in addiction. And any of the addicts I know or work with, none of them have ever said to me, I want a supervised injection centre. Every single one of them, without exception, says when it comes to the time that I want to get out of my addiction, I need to have services at my fingertips. And Eddie, you'd have more experience than I would. You know that isn't possible here. You know you have a very small window of opportunity for someone in addiction to decide to try and get out of that. And we need to give them the maximum amount of help at that stage. And we're simply not doing that.
Eddie?
Yeah, no, Kieran, I wouldn't disagree with your point there about detox beds and recovery beds. Absolutely, there's not nearly enough investment in that. But they're not mutually exclusive. And I think, to suggest that would say the 3 million that that is earmarked for the medically supervised injection facility would be better spent in recovery. I think it's not a choice. I think we shouldn't be prioritising one service over another. I think the reality is for many people in addiction, and we know we call it the journey, the recovery journey. And you're 100% right about being ready and able to support a person when they're ready to go on that recovery journey. But for many people who are not ready to go on that recovery journey, they're injecting drugs in an absolutely deplorable situation. And they're doing so and taking, significant risks with their own life. This facility will support people medically when they're in that particular space. And like the reality is, the statistics are opioid related. So there's heroin, there's methadone, there's lots of it, and polydrug use is a significant problem. But like the majority of drugs that are consumed in society are consumed in private homes, clubs, and pubs. And for the people who use our services, they don't have, I'm going to use the word very perversely, the luxury of that. So the reason they're out on the street taking drugs is because they've nowhere else to do it. And that's not going to change. And we've spoken to, you mentioned some of the people that you're in addiction that you've spoken to. I've spoken to several people who really cannot believe that this facility is going to be open and it's going to take some of the shame and the condemnation and the indignity that's associated. And I spoke to one lady there today who talked about how she's been shunned scorned, spat at, you know. She said the last place she wants to take drugs and inject drugs is on the street. She doesn't, nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to, you know, to subject themselves to that indignity. But at the moment, for the people who we work with, they don't have an alternative. That's what this will do. And, you know, and that's at a very basic level. Besides the harm reduction impact and the health saving or the life saving impact that this will have, it will also bring some dignity to people who have been the most marginalised. And, and we're both passionate dubs. We both know, you know, we've seen the impact of drug use in the city and the scourge, and it has disproportionately impacted on people who come from poverty and from and you know, from that culture of addiction. I see this as a really positive step, and I really understand people's reservations and concerns. I don't agree with you that it's enabling, because, you know, my colleagues see every day, more than most people in society don't see the impact of drug. We see the devastating impact, you know, physically, mentally, on the people who use drugs and the people who and the people around them. So we don't support drug taking, but we support people who take drugs to try and start that journey. And I think that's the critical message for I'd like to get across.
Kieran, like, let's say we accept the evidence you provide that it's not going to lead to people down the road to recovery, as it were, but that, yes, it might reduce overdose rates. Is it not worth trying just on that front? You know, even if it doesn't do everything that Eddie hopes it will do and that others hopes it will do, but if it will, and you admit it yourself, it will, the evidence does seem to say it will reduce overdose rates. Like, at least do it for that reason and that reason alone.
The difficulty is, one, policy-wise, the normalisation of drug taking, that sends the wrong message anyway. Oh, you understand perfectly what you're saying, I understand what Eddie's saying, I can understand those people who are delighted at this open, but I will just say, Eddie, nobody ever, and I work with drug services across Dublin regularly, nobody has ever asked me for this. Everyone I've spoken to at some stage of their addiction has asked me for detox or rehab. So I'm not saying that they don't want this, but they haven't asked for it. I understand exactly what you're saying, Karen, in relation to more dignity. Fully understand. The difficulty is we still don't know if this will work. Like, if we look at the Sydney and Vancouver examples, like, there was one in 36, I think, in one of the surveys, travelling into the centre to use. We don't know what usage is. We know, I think we all agree, historically, heroin use is at its lowest ever, and that will continue because it's an elder drug, should we say. So what we have in society now is a crack cocaine epidemic with people smoking it. And, like, we're putting 3 million into something that is hopefully yesterday's story. I don't disagree.
Can people use crack in it?
No. So it's an injection centre.
Okay.
But I suppose
there were some of them in other countries. I've been to one in Rotterdam, and when I was there, there was a guy smoking crack in it. That's why I asked.
So there are consumption rooms. So room in Lisbon, for example, started as a medically supervised injection facility, and then transitioned into a consumption room. In our case, so, you know, we said at the outset, 9 years ago, the drug trends were dramatically different than they are today. So Karen is absolutely right. Crack cocaine is at epidemic levels. There's no question about that. There's still a lot of people who inject and smoke crack cocaine. But there's no question about that. The need for this service is as great, as I believe, as it's ever been. But it's an 18-month pilot, and that allows, and there's strong evaluations. A very strong team will evaluate the impact of this throughout the 18 months. So you look at impact on service users, but you'll also look at the impact on the local community, on children. So there's a children's assessment. There's a lot of safeguards built into this over the 18-month period. And it'll be for the next government then to decide what the next iteration of the MCIF is to be, if it's to be a consumption room.
Yeah.
And I think what I'm urging people to do is maybe to you know, to take an open mind at this. You know, we will be monitored, we will be reviewed, and the data will be there for people to look at.
Kira, I'll just give you a final word. And it's just because people will be texting in, and strong views both sides, and quite a few actually making a similar argument to you about the normalisation kind of argument. Mm-hmm. But I guess you could make that to argue against any kind of intervention, like needle exchange, you could say. That's kind of normalisation of drugs. Or even any of the services provided by Merchants Quay, if there's not a guard standing there kind of you're ready to arrest people, you could make the argument it's normalisation.
This is different. One, this is like I would argue that de facto legalisation of heroin in that in the vicinity, because the illegal drug will be consumed in there. But where does the illegal drug come from? Like, you can be guaranteed with the chaotic life that an addict has, they're not going to be buying that elsewhere and motoring all the way into town. Most likely, they're going to be buying it locally to some degree, not in the immediate vicinity, but to some degree. So the guards are going to be forced to turn a blind eye. Or are they going to arrest people on the way in? Because almost all of the customers going in will have heroin on them. So that's the de facto legalisation. The other thing, just Kieran, a very important point is the evaluation, right? Like, who's, excuse me for being cynical, Eddie, there's no way that they've invested 3 million in this if this isn't going to remain open forever, right? Who's the evaluation? I don't trust the people who've imposed this on the community. I need to see who's involved in the evaluation and somebody
from
the community.
That in 10 seconds.
So I can't name the evaluation team. It's a very broad team. But one thing I would say is at the moment, people are coming into Merchants Quay for harm reduction measures, needle exchange. The reality is most of those people are carrying the drugs in to Merchants Quay to collect their needles, and they're then leaving and going to inject or to smoke them in a very unsafe manner. This service is simply an extension of what we currently provide. It's the last piece, in my view, of the jigsaw. And I know that sounds very simplifying, and I don't mean to be patronising about it, but in very many ways, it is the last piece of the jigsaw.
I was at a second consumption room outside Rotterdam, where they actually provided the drugs as well as part of a pilot project, which was fascinating. We could talk about it another day, because I will get in trouble. Eddie Mullins is the CEO at Merchants Quay. Ciarán Perry is an independent Dublin City Councillor. Thank you both very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
It's time to have your high five moment with High Five Casino, the top social casino where the action and real prizes never stop. Fun spins and big wins are right at your fingertips with over 1,000 games, including High Five Casino exclusives. High Five Casino is always free to play with free coins given out every 4 hours. Sign up today and get free welcome coins you can spin for a chance at cash prizes. Visit highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.